one salvation, get another salvation for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you're live with us, hopefully you're not dead with us. You can get your prayer requests in to bbfohio@protonmail.com.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. I need to turn this on. Thanks for reminding me. Probably need to change the battery. Yep. We had a good time of fellowship.
Amen.
Good pizza.
The best.
Some leftover chicken. Chicken's good leftover if it's, you put it in the oven. Don't put it in the microwave. We almost did that, but just not the same. Cook it, not nuke it.
One of the boys, when they said, like, it's just as good the second day, right?
Yeah, I've never understood people don't like leftovers. Some things, like spaghetti and lasagna, I think is even better a day after. That's, of course, if it's been refrigerated.
That's true. Within reason.
All right, did you check it now, Johnny?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. Tapping on it?
Yep.
All right, we just want to be careful. Everybody got your prayer cards? Those of you who are live with us in the building, get your prayer card filled out and ready.
I was looking for one.
You checked on that. There's your reminder to turn off your cell phone ringer. We almost got 1,000 out by Easter Sunday. We're still going to put out what's left.
Amen.
And Jenny's still mailing them out, spamming the old-fashioned way.
Amen.
And if you want to do that, you can see Jenny. She can tell you how to do that. But this month, April, we're going to try to get 1,000. This was your life tracks. So getting a little late start because we took Easter into the 4th. And Doug, hopefully he's feeling better Friday. And then Dre, going to be three of us going out Friday, do some tracting. But you have a good time with it. We just go out. Right now we're just putting them on doorknobs. In years past, we'd knock, and then if no one came, we'd put it on the doorknob. But now no one wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
And so we're just trying to get the tracks out. You go to apartment complexes, the best place if you want to get a bunch of them out. And then, but if you just want to just take a casual walk, you don't have to run, and walk up to a house and put it on the doorknob. Walk to the next one. Some of you walk all the time, don't you? Don't a few of you? So you can do that. We also have door hangers right there. You just put a door hanger on the door, and it has the gospel on the back side and the front side information about BBF. And so different ways you can do your part. And just letting you know that we're going to close out donations Sunday for our monthly Bible donation. Just get those in. If you get it in after that, it'll go on May. So with that, You got your, you ready?
The cord is, it seems shorter than usual.
Oh.
And so it's putting pressure on your phone and it could mess up your port.
We don't worry about it right now. We're just closed for questions, comments till after we reach the, had Jessica worry about there.
Yeah.
Thought we were going to turn out the lights and run you out. We do ask you to stick around. Current events update. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Of course, it's reference to biblical knowledge in the direct sense, but in the general sense, God expects us to take biblical knowledge and apply it to our personal lives, our relationships, the world situation. And we're actually talking about that in our daily proverb devotionals we've been uploading. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about this. So with that in mind, we're going to do a little headline review tonight to get an overview of current events. First of all, we'll look at the hypocrisy and idiocy of the Major League Baseball / liberals boycotting Georgia. They should call it Major Libtard Baseball, MLB. They are, just think about how dishonest this is. They are boycotting Georgia, who passed a law that still offers 17 days of early voting. They're not boycotting the New York Yankees, the New York Mets, in their state that only offers 9 days of early voting. They're boycotting Georgia. They've moved the All-Star game and the draft out of Georgia. Georgia's law bans passing out food and water within 150 feet of voters, and that is only political activists, not the people who work for the elections board or anyone who's nonpartisan. For example, we could go to the election places and hand out food and water, and there's no law in Georgia against that. This is only against political partisans. In New York, they banned passing out food and water over $1 in value, no matter where you're at. So New York's more strict than Georgia. But these major league hypocrites are boycotting Georgia. Here's another one. Georgia law requires a valid ID to vote by mail. New York doesn't require ID to vote, but requires ID to register to vote in federal elections. So New York requires you to register to just register for a federal election. And Georgia is requiring you to vote. But if you vote by mail, you have to have a valid ID. And then Georgia, the new law allows no excuse vote by mail. In New York, they require an excuse. Now think about that. On all four of these points that the Major League Baseball is complaining about in Georgia, New York is more racist than Georgia. They're telling you that Georgia is racist. If Georgia is racist, New York is KKK unlimited. And your local news media and your national news media are a bunch of liars. And what they want to do is make you and me hate each other. They want you, if you're a Democrat, they want you and Republicans to hate each other. And what we need are more preachers and more Christians who will stand up and point this out to people. You're being played. They want you to hate each other. That's why they're doing this. And they're liars. And then you have this imbecilic nonsense from rhinos, Republicans. Minority Leader McConnell expresses confidence in Dr. Fauci. But listen to what he says. Quote, "I think he's the principal person we've relied on the last couple of years. That's because that's become somewhat controversial, I gather. But we have to take advice from somebody, and he's the most reliable witness I've seen," end quote.
What would he know?
Just think about that. Yeah. Yeah, you just need advice. It's not, you know, it's not important whether it's accurate or not. Huh?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Liberals called Trump a racist for building the wall. Remember that? Everybody remember? Trump was a racist because he's building the wall. The Biden administration has now shifted their border policy and restart construction of the border wall.
I thought
I have another one in there. I'm going to have to.
Was it?
Did you have the one about the cow?
It was because the Congress had already okayed building the wall, and so you can't just cancel it because Congress voted for it?
No.
Or they literally flip-flopping.
Yeah, they're flip-flopping.
Well, they were the ones, the Democrats were the ones that wanted to build the wall in the first place.
Or just now, I guess they couldn't give Trump credit for it.
Yeah.
But the point is that he was a racist.
Now they are too.
See, that's I appreciate the fact you all tear this down and build it back up and all that, and that's fine. But don't miss the point. The point is that Donald Trump was a racist for wanting to build the wall. So evidently, Joe Biden is a racist because he now wants to do the same thing. See, what I'm talking about is hypocrisy and lies.
Thank you.
And it's over and over and over. You see it. By the way, we just go ahead and you're already doing that. Anybody? Yeah, Janie?
I was listening to America's Voice. You know, that's one of my channels that I listen to.
Real America's Voice. That's what it's called. We were trying to figure out.
And they were talking about Fauci. And Republican, GOP Republican, Green.
Marjorie Green.
They said that she's trying to get a bill passed through to knock his so-called $400,000 money that he gets, his paycheck, $400,000, they're trying to drop it to zero and get him replaced.
Thank you.
Yeah, that,
she
I don't know.
Real hard for that.
You can't just pass a bill and replace the president. Oh, they can impeach him and do all that. But they can. Yeah, Jack?
I don't want to send you too far off into the weeds, but why are they saying that they own the bill? There's got to be some justification.
He's getting flack from his own party now because this is hurting a lot of Democrats. And there are a bunch of Democrats on the border who are going to lose their jobs in the next election.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're saying, okay, well, maybe we need to go ahead with this wall thing. So. Proverbs 6:16 and 19 say, these six things doth the Lord hate. We're not going to name them all. We just want to point out this one. He says, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. One of those seven things is a false witness that speaketh lies. Do you know God hates people?
Yep.
It's a secret about God. Everybody's created a God in their own image or in the image of Mr. Rogers or, you know, whoever. The real God says he hates people who lie. Right there. I'm just telling you that you got to get all the garbage out of your head and just open the Bible. And you're going to be amazed at what's in there. Because we've been told so much nonsense. And then you open the Bible. Jenny and I, over the years that we've been married, we're reading that. I'm like, how in the world can they teach what they teach when right here? You know. Well, God, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. It doesn't just say he hates lies. It says he hates a false witness. Any attorneys in the building or any judges can tell you, a witness is a what?
A person.
A person. Now, God loved that witness that's false enough to send his only begotten son to die for that witness's sins. But if that false witness rejects Jesus Christ, he's under God's hatred. He's under God's condemnation. And he'll be there for eternity. Well, the gun control lies of liberals exposed. This is from Breitbart. The federal 2018 data falling killed 126 times more people than rifles of any kind.
Yeah, I read that.
Now, go look it up. Your news media lies to you about guns. Most of the things, you know, most of the deaths by guns is accidental shootings and suicides. And we've had it pounded. We've had lies, 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 year after year after year. And if you just look at the facts, you'll find out that there's only pockets of neighborhoods in certain cities in this country where, like in Chicago, where there's a real problem with guns, the rest of the country doesn't have a problem with guns. Out where we live, kids drive to school and they have guns in their cars. They have to keep them secured and everything like that. But they don't. But if you do that in the inner city, man, you'll have a SWAT team down on you. Falling killed 126 times more people than rifles of any kind. Now, mandatory vaccination. Have you been hearing about that?
Yeah.
It is a violation of the Nuremberg Code. Anyone calling for mandatory vaccination is a Nazi. Anyone calling for mandatory vaccination is a Nazi. This is the Nuremberg Code. You can look it up online. This is from the National Institutes of Health. The voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion. You take those things away, you wouldn't even have liberalism anymore.
Really?
Liberalism is an idea that's so great, it has to be implemented by force. To continue, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved. That almost eliminates everyone getting a vaccine, so-called. It's actually experimental gene therapy, but what they're calling the COVID vaccine, nobody you know knows anything about it.
Right.
When you talk to them, they don't know anything about DNA. They don't know anything about mRNA. They don't know anything about gene therapy. They don't know anything about the long-term effects because no one on planet Earth does.
Right.
It hasn't been around long enough. They have no idea about the long-term effects of this thing. It is a crime against humanity, and the people behind it should be in prison. Bill Gates, first and foremost. Dr. Fauci, right behind him. They are violating human beings with this thing. But man, you can hear the crickets, can't you?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go on it any further, but that's enough of that. You can go check it out yourself. And I just want to mention this in closing the current events update. Recommended news source. This is called 403 Forbidden. You just type in 403forbidden.us. It's kind of like Drudge, only not a mental case like Drudge. Drudge is going off the deep end on us, and I have no use for the man. So find better news sources. 403forbidden.us. All right, any comments on that, Johnny?
So where's the Nuremberg Code from?
The Nuremberg trials of Nazis.
World War II.
They developed this code.
Okay.
It's in Geneva, I believe, is where it was developed. But it's been agreed upon in international treaties, the United Nations.
What's that website again?
Which one?
The 403.
403forbidden.us.
So the Nuremberg Code, then, everyone in the world should be following it, or at least everyone in the United Nations.
Yes.
Anybody that's not a Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah, all non-Nazis.
It's not just America.
No, it's international. That's Nuremberg Code's. Yeah.
Just be aware they're starting to try to push the panic button again with the new strain.
Oh, yeah.
So keep your ears open for that.
I've heard that.
As we reported Sunday, thanks to Rand Paul, who you mentioned a moment ago, he was talking about the science. Liberals hate science, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals hate science. You better get used to the fact this is a cult, and they don't care about science. That's why they say a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man, and you ought to be chemically castrating children who say they want to be a boy when they're a girl. It's a cult. It's a sick, twisted, perverted cult. And they are ignoring the science that says that the T-cell studies, that anyone with COVID has immunity against the variants.
Yep, we already are immune.
But what you have is you have some people who said they had COVID, but they were never actually tested, or even if they're tested, the tests are useless. So it's not a controlled, even this whole experiment right now with the COVID vaccine, which is experimental gene therapy, and all the tests and everything, it's not a controlled experiment. So there's really no way of knowing what's really happening.
Yeah, there's no test.
And it's confusion on purpose. And that's always been the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the secret societies, everything. Order out of chaos. And that's what you're seeing right now. You had your hand up first.
Yep. So the verse you started with about being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, you are right that it's he is mainly meaning biblical knowledge there. I think you can make the case that it's just general knowledge, because I think we all know that even if just common sense about with actual science, just if that was used in the world, that would eliminate most of the problems we're having today.
But we also have to point out that a lot of this isn't lacking common sense. A lot of it's just downright evil. They don't like 7.5 billion people being on this planet. And they want to decrease the population. And whoever was behind the Georgia Guidestones, I think he's got it right on the head. I think they'd take it down to 500 million if they could do it. They have to make sure when they do it, they have to make sure they don't kill themselves.
So, that's just 90% of the population.
Right?
Just for a minute, something about not having a control group. Sweden is a control group. The ones that did.
Well, there's some very good, more controlled. They've got their issues too.
So, I mean, but as a society in general that didn't go to all this extreme and didn't have the infection.
And to some extent, we can see that in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, you can see. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, this is back about 1989. I read this. Author is Tal Brook. I can't remember the title of the book, but he said the goal of these one worlders is to get the population down to 5 million.
That's right.
And it is there in black and white.
Amen. Well, with that, let's get into Bible study. We've gone a few minutes over our allotted time. I want to ask my wife to open the Bible study prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time together. Praise you for who you are and all that you've done for each of us, that you've saved our souls from hell.
Yes.
And everything else is just a blessing. Help us to occupy till you come. Bless the services tonight. Bless each one in this room and online that they would get a special blessing from the Word of God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we're in James, and we can segue into this by saying all this stuff in the current events and everything, it's becoming quite the trial. And that was the definition of temptation in the previous verses, the trial of your faith. Well, we're going to be given now a promise for those who endure these trials. So if you look there in James 1, we've titled this The Crown of Life. And we're taking it right from the text. If you're there, James 1, verse 12. I'm going to give Jessica a second to get there. And James, the general epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 12. Come on now, no pressure. It's just everybody in the room is looking at you, but no pressure. Huh?
No,
chapter 1, verse 12. You there?
Yes, thank you.
All right, now read with us. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. All God's people say?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, we need to teach everybody our new, we kind of picked this up off of some of the, it's a kind of an older thing for a lot of churches. But I say, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, Kim knew it. Yeah. That's it. Actually, I knew this, and I thought, you don't need to know this. You go out, you can be somewhere just traveling, and somebody, a Christian, will look at you. If they know you're a Christian, they'll say, "He is risen." And then if you say, "Bingo," they're going to be like, "Well, that's not the right response."
It's the Ohio thing. Right? Yeah. Oh, hey.
Yeah, that's right. Only this is for...
Thank you.
Yeah. So we return to the matter of temptation. But as the Bible is a book that must be rightly divided, you're going to see after this, we're going to get into the temptation involving sin. See, there are different temptations. Up to this point, it's been the temptation that is the trial of your faith. So, as we saw there in verse 12, it started by saying, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." And that's speaking about the previous verses above that we've already gone over in a couple of messages. And we're not left guessing as to what this blessing is according to the Bible. Now, left to yourself, you're going through a bad trial. Say you're getting rods put in you, we've had a few people fall and break a hip. We've had Mark's been through some things and blood clots and all that. You know, and it can be a trial. Amen. Martha's been through so much. I've got my infrequent, thankfully, but have my issues with COPD. And I'll be honest with you, earlier today, I felt terrible. And I'm happy to report I feel a lot better right now. But I have what I've been diagnosed with, fibromyalgia. And it just hurts all over your body, and you get this fog about you and everything. And then sometimes it lifts in a short time, and other times it can be days. And I've talked to people who have gone weeks in that condition. But... if it weren't for God's Word telling me this, I wouldn't know this. I wouldn't be able to tell you what I'm about to tell you. This isn't intuitive. But the Bible says there's a blessing for those who endure temptation. What's it say there in the second part of the verse? "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." The crown of life. Now, some people will try to convince you this is just a general thing. It's like the crown of life is symbolic or whatever. And I don't believe that's the case. Is this a literal crown? And I say, yes, I believe it's a literal crown. If you read in Revelation chapter 4, you'll see crowns being tossed at the feet of Jesus. They're literal crowns. A.C. Gabelin, a teacher from about 100 years ago, he says, quote, "Overcoming faith will be rewarded as the poor believer or the rich believer endures temptation, is proved and overcomes through faith, the Lord will give to him the promised crown of life."
Amen.
That's a promised reward for you. And I think if you can sneeze like 100 more times in one sitting, you might get the crown of wind or a crown of sneezing.
How did I play a wind?
I just never seen anybody sneeze like that.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. I'm not even mad. That's amazing. It's just amazing. Never seen anybody like that. My wife's got a different sneezing thing. She sneezes 3 times when it's bedtime. And it's like, count to 3, sneeze, 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 she's out. So maybe it's a female thing. I don't know.
Excuse myself.
Jessica?
What does that say? The Bible.
The annotated Bible. That's just what the quote comes from.
So it's not the King James? Or?
It's a... Yeah, it's King James.
It's a note that the man wrote in there.
When someone, you've ever heard of the Scofield Bible?
Yeah.
It's King James. The Ruckman Bible is King James. The annotated Bible. It doesn't mean it's not a King James.
It's not scripture.
He called it the annotated Bible. He could have called it the Gabelin Bible, but like me, I don't think I want my name on the Bible. That's God's book.
Yeah.
So he called it the annotated Bible. But he's just confirming what we were just reading in James. Scripture tells us of 5 individual crowns. Did you know that? five crowns that you could potentially, you could earn as a Christian. And we're going to come back to this crown of life. I want to look at the incorruptible victor's crown. Look over at 1 Corinthians. Now, don't get a paper cut.
Are we coming
but
back?
We're going to, yeah, we'll always come back to our text. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 is where you'll find the, it's called the victor's crown by a lot of people, so I put that in there, but the biblical reference is incorruptible. Beginning of verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Now, I don't think out of all the Christians who ever lived, only one Christian is going to win. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that there will be Christians who won't get this crown. There will be Christians who don't get this reward. Read verse 25 with me. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." In other words, it's like these ball players, these track stars, Olympic stars, they win their awards and everything, but those awards are going to perish. And a lot of them go broke and have to sell them before they're even dead so they can get some money out of them. Our crown is, as it says here, an incorruptible crown. And so he goes on to explain, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." In other words, you a Christian who maintains themselves without falling into sin, and they run the race and finish the race without falling into that sin, into whatever your temptation in sin might be in that case. Whatever it is tempting. There have been people who gave up serving the Lord to chase the almighty dollar. Doesn't mean they're not saved, but they're giving up this crown and probably a lot of other rewards. There have been Christians I know who professed that they were called into ministry, called into missions. They decided it was just too much for them and they weren't going to do it. And why? Because they desired something else and they fell into a materialistic or worldly mindset. Then there's just been men who have fallen from ministry, and not necessarily pastor. I mean, deacons, teachers, Christians in the pew are ministers, and they fall into sin, and they make shipwreck. Or as Paul called it there in that last word, castaway. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but it does mean you lose this crown. And the second crown we'll see is a crown of rejoicing. Some call this the soul winner's crown. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning verse 19 to 20, last two verses of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. If you're there, read it with me. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." I think this is just an amazing thing. But those who God used to preach the gospel to lost people at some point, I'll just use Brother John as an example tonight. Brother John Allball. This should be true of all of us, but we know Brother John loves souls, and he tries to win souls, and he makes his own tracts and hands them out. I don't know how many thousands of tracts, and then they're online. And how many have read them online? He doesn't know. You ask him, he doesn't know. He doesn't have any idea how many people were saved so far. Mm-hmm. But there's some of the day he's going to be surrounded by those people.
Amen.
You think about that now. He's going to stand up there, and that could be true of every one of us. That's why we're giving you the opportunity. You give out that gospel tract, and they read that and get saved. They're going to thank you, even if they don't get a hold of you in this life. I've run across people all the time who say that they don't remember the person who shared the gospel. They don't remember who gave them the tract. But when they get to heaven and we're standing before the Lord, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. That's going to be amazing. And then to top it off, they'll put a little crown on John's head.
Amen.
Now, I hope to be right there among those who receive that crown. And I'm putting forth the effort. And that's, God knows. God knows your effort. God also knows you're living in the days of Noah. So the numbers may not be as impressive as compared to D.L. Moody or somebody like that. But you know what? It's just like there are people in the military. If a sniper picks off the right guy, he gets all these decorations. Whereas another guy in war may be battling and killing dozens of people and throwing grenades and killing people and taking over a hill, and he gets commended too, no more than the sniper who took out the right guy. Now, I know, that's military, it's violence, you know, but the Bible uses a lot of military imagery, and we're to be good, keep on the fire line. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Jessica?
Also, I've been told, and I believe it's true, is people who pray.
Yeah, amen.
Because, I am not as smart or as well-written or as good at speaking.
I'll give you an example of what you're talking about. It's Jenny's mom. And Jenny's mom put out tracts.
Oh, yeah. That all her life.
But, you know, the last few years of her life, she couldn't do much of that. But she did a whole lot of praying.
And
I believe that, who knows, I might be here right now because of her prayers.
Amen.
Because I was really sick a few times, you know.
Yeah.
And the Lord saw fit to let me stick around a while. And, yeah, that's an amazing thing about this, Jessica. We stand before the Lord and all this stuff. We don't know. We have no idea. He's going to reveal it all. It's going to be an amazing time. Then the third crown is called a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy, you're real close already. Just turn over a few pages. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. It's right after the very famous text. Verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's such a great verse. We stop there. And the next one's like three times longer, so people don't use it as a memory verse. But it's a great verse. Read it with me. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Isn't that something? Now, I want to say a couple things about that. Number one, it's not talking about the righteousness that saved you. That's not your righteousness. The righteousness which saved you is the righteousness of Christ. You had nothing to do with it. That righteousness is imputed unto you. That's why you know you're saved, because you didn't have anything to do with being saved. You don't have anything to do with staying saved. It's all about Jesus and His righteousness imputed unto you. But now you've got that righteousness imputed unto you. You're free now to serve the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Word of God that you put in you daily. You should be. You should be hiding in your heart that you might not sin against God. And then He gives you the ability to then live a righteous life. But how is that? I want to show you. Go over to 1 John. I didn't write this down, but I want you to go over there. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Where did I get that right? Let me look. I think I just got the wrong number in my head. It's in verse 2. Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 2. I had to switch. Chapter 3, verse 2.
1 John
3, 2. 1 John 3:2. Now I'll read verse 2. It says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now watch this next verse. Read it with me. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now put two and two together. Put verses 2 and 3 that you just read with what we just read here in 2 Timothy 4:8. You have a crown of righteousness. Righteousness. But it's unto all them that love his appearing. Why? Because if you love his appearing, it has a purifying effect according to 1 John.
Yeah.
It purifies you. Why? If you think today may be the day that Jesus is coming for you, you're not going to be doing bad things. You're not going to be chasing sin. You're going to be aware of your position, your condition, your relationship with the Lord, and you're going to want to be caught ready. If you love the Lord and love his appearing, that is what motivates us and moves us and really empowers us to live a righteous life. And that's how we get that crown of righteousness.
Amen.
Isn't that something? The fourth crown is called a crown of glory. Crown of glory. Now, there have been some people say, well, you have all these crowns, you can't wear all these crowns on your head, you know. And that's true. And so some think maybe what you have is a crown, and then you get like the emerald or the sapphire or whatever, you know, on your crown, signifying those that
maybe,
it's a crown.
Maybe it's like Legos and they just stack up.
And maybe it's it stacks. That would make sense. We're not told. So here's the thing. Just make sure you're there. Amen?
Yeah.
Then you'll figure it out. You'll be there. Look over at 1 Peter, if you're still in John, 1 John, it's real close. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. The crown of glory. Beginning verse 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now, as a pastor, this is a crown for pastors. So this is one that not everybody has the opportunity to gain. But it says that a pastor is not by constraint. I hope that none of you feel like you're under any kind of duress or anything to be here ever. There are some churches that do that. They will hound you. They'll make you feel guilty. Not here. I don't ever want that here. I only want you to be here because you want to be here. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. You should be here not by constraint. And it says also not for filthy lucre. And it's really hilarious. Every once in a while somebody will accuse me of, you know, being a preacher is just trying to make money. You know? And I'm like, I'm very bad at it.
Yeah.
If that's my purpose, I don't take, that's why I appreciate Donald Trump as president not taking a paycheck. Because, I don't take a paycheck. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for pastors, if especially they have a larger congregation, to take a legitimate level of pay and all that. Don't get me wrong. But in my situation, that's just not how it works. And so at least I know I've got that much covered. It's not about filthy lucre. Be of a ready mind. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. I try to live it and hope that you see that and want to come along and live it with me.
Amen.
But look what it says now in verse 4. Read that with me. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now that shepherd in your Bible is a capital S?
Yes.
Yeah. It should be. If not, we got a Bible for you. You can throw that one away. We'll give you a new one. Because this should be capital S because that's Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. Pastors of local churches are small s under shepherds. Yeah. And so when the chief shepherd appears, we can receive a crown of glory. And then that leads us back to where we started in James, the crown of life. But I want you to see it's referred to again over in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2, verse 10. I'll start reading while you turn there. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now this is this verse is specifically to the Smyrna church. But from this point on, it's true of all believers. If you read this, we already saw in James. But here's the second reference. Read the rest of that verse. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So if you're faithful, which is what most Christians can't do. Most Christians are like, I'll be nice and say, a mist in the wind. Some of you know what the other version of that is. But you're like a mist in the wind. It's a sad thing. I mean, you look around you, there are empty spaces in the pews, and there's some people not here because they're working. Some might not be well. A couple of people not here because of the whole COVID thing and their job requirements and all this. At least one is pregnant. You know, there are legitimate reasons for the people not here. I just have to say it. But there are some people you haven't seen in a long time. It's because they are unstable and unfaithful. Like this or like this, but never just a steady serving the Lord, going straight ahead. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, some people are like that in church attendance because they don't find a good church. But I'm not talking necessarily just about sitting in the pew. I mean serving the Lord. And that's wherever you are, whether or not you have a good church to go to, whatever the case may be, every day of your life should be about serving the Lord. And I say it again. Your job, no matter what your job is, say, I don't work. Well, what do? Whatever you do, do for the glory of God, and you're being faithful. That's the key. So what earns the crown of life? It says two things. Faithful unto death. Three things, actually. Faithful unto death. Enduring temptation during that time. And loving God. You do that, and you'll get this crown of life. Faithful unto death. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you never stumble. I'm just saying that you are faithful unto death. You stay the course. You may have your troubles. You may have to, you know, like a car going down the road, you may need AAA once in a while. You may run out of gas and have to have somebody come along and, you know, help you get some gas in the tank or that kind of thing. But you're on the course. You're not off on a different road. See? Faithful unto death. But the ideal would be to just day in, day out, serve the Lord. Amen. Enduring temptation, the trials of your faith. Especially if someone hurts you, you ask yourself one question. Was it Jesus? And if it wasn't Jesus who hurt you, don't you dare take it out on Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what Christians do all the time. Somebody else hurts them, and then they walk away from Jesus. I mean, how terrible is that? Imagine if I hope we're friends. I've used this kind of a same example before, but let's just say Johnny back there says something really mean to Jack. And then weeks go by and I don't hear from Jack. I'm calling him, I'm texting him, hey, what's going on? Don't hear from Jack. Finally, I run into him out on the street. And I know him because he doesn't have a mask on. I say, Jack, man, thought we were friends, what happened? And he says, Johnny said something that really, really ticked me off. And I would say, and? What does that have to do with me? And of course, that would make no sense at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why are people doing that to Jesus? some Christian even hurts their feelings or is mean to them, or that still has nothing to do with Jesus. He didn't do it.
Amen.
But I see it all the time. That's what that's talking about. Loving God, enduring trials and temptation, faithful unto death. And afterwards we'll see Johnny and Jack will make up. So what core characteristic will result in crowns? That one right there. If I love God, then I'm not going to be easily offended. And even if Johnny makes me mad, I'm not going to quit on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? If I love others, what I'm going to do? I'm going to love sinners. I'm going to get the gospel out. If I love God, I'm going to serve Him. If I love God, I'm going to be looking for His appearance. Every one of these crowns is an outgrowth of you loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You do that, you'll cover the rest. Of course, that's what it says back in James 1:12, which the Lord hath promised to them that what?
Love Him.
That's what motivates the result. Loving the Lord. The true lover of God will sacrifice all to serve and glorify Him. Look over at what Jesus said in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We're about to wrap it up. I don't want to get fired. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. I'm going to wait till you get there. Matthew 22, verse 37. You guys there? All right. Let's start. Verse 37 through 40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now that is a heavy statement right there. On those two, you can hang all the rest. What? And really, the second one, you can hang on the first one. If you love God, you're going to love your neighbor. Amen?
Amen.
And if you love your God and you love your neighbor, all these other things take care of themselves, really. And then we have today, we have what in the past people didn't even have, which is every one of us own our own Bible. We can read it anytime we want. We can pray in Jesus' name anytime we want. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have local churches. At least we have a local church here. Amen. There's some people who don't. But we do. Let's take advantage of it. Love one another. Pray for one another. Help one another. So God leaves it up to you and I. You give, you get. Not salvation. Reward. When you give, that's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. Why? Because when you give, you actually receive way more than if you're just a taker. Too many Christians are only takers. They're never givers. And it shows. And it'll show on Judgment Day. But the givers, the people are always giving. And I don't just mean money. I don't always mean things. You give of your time. You give a time on your knees praying for them. Whatever it is. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that what?
Love Him.
That includes these crowns. They're prepared for them that love Him. And when your love for God is your mover. It's like some days I don't wake up, I'm out of bed. I'm walking around and I'm even talking verbally to my wife, but until I get some caffeine in me, I'm not awake. That's just I'm just being honest with you. Confession's good for the soul. That's the reality. Well, that's the way Christians, if you're living the Christian life and you're not first and foremost motivated by the love of God, then you're just going through the motions. You're not really accomplishing anything. You may think you are, but you're not. And that's what He's prepared these things for them that love him. This isn't about greed or self-promotion, by the way. It's not about you being the most famous Christian. I don't want my name on anything. That's why our website doesn't have my name in it. Our website doesn't have my ugly face on it. You know, the banners don't have my face. It has a logo and whatever. It's not about me, and I don't want my name on everything. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel. And it's about a group effort. If y'all weren't here, it's not about Greg Miller. And it's all about the Word of God. And like any good father, God wants his children to be what? God wants you. Don't you? I don't have to ask this. Everyone with a kid, everyone who has a child in their life, wants that child to be successful.
Yeah.
Well, your heavenly Father feels the same way about you. And so many of his children are useless bums. They're not serving him. They're not bearing fruit. And he doesn't want it that way. But you see, they got a love problem. If they loved their Heavenly Father more, they would do more. They'd bear more fruit. And anything you have done, you think about it. You'll realize you're most fruitful when you're really in love with the Lord, in a real sense of loving the Lord. That's when you'll be most fruitful. And that's why Jesus said this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." John 15:8. It's about pleasing God, desiring his pleasure in us, and receiving his reward. I hope that's got through to you tonight. I needed to hear this.
Amen.
Sometimes I need to be reminded what my motivation ought to be. The power source. And I think that when you see a Christian burn out, that's what they've got wrong. They've lost sight of what the power should be. The motivator. What is giving them the spiritual energy, for lack of a better term. It's the love of the Lord. All right, so stand if you can. Let's sing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Amen.
Amen.
All right, onliners, get your prayer request into bbfohioprotonmail.com. The rest of you get your cards up here. Let's say goodbye to the onliners. By the way, we have the last Sunday service, we had representing more than 30 states and 20 different countries.
Man.
Watching online. So we can only say this in English. I hope all of you are English wherever you're listening. Get on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. God bless you all.